It's good to see you. We welcome you today. We're glad you're here. Especially glad to have Ann Wells with us today. Granny Ann, we're glad you're here today. We welcome you. That's my mother-in-law. She loved me a long time before Miss Audrey did. All right, children. I want you to be up here today because I want you to see baptism. It's such a beautiful, beautiful picture. The word baptize means to put under. And Jesus commanded us that when we receive him into our lives, we accept him as our Savior. He said, you'll follow me in baptism to be put under the water. Now, there's a couple of reasons why we're baptized. We're baptized, number one, because Jesus commanded it, right? We do everything Jesus tells us to do. Number two, because he gave us the example. He was baptized by his relative John. John the Baptizer was his name. Number three, we baptize because it shows what Jesus did for us. And in a moment, what y'all are going to see, you're going to see three people that are going to be put under the water. And it's going to show the death of Jesus on the cross. We put them under the water as he was buried. And then we're going to raise them back up to show the resurrection. So every time we baptize, we show the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. But it also shows a fourth thing. And that fourth thing is that the people that come into this baptistry today, this pool, it's going to show that they have Jesus in their lives. And though they're going to make a statement, Jesus is Lord of my life, they're going to be making a bigger statement by what they're showing. As they're showing, I was away from Jesus. Jesus came into my life and I became a new person. And the last thing that it's going to show today, it's going to show the responsibility all of us have. And that responsibility is to share Jesus with everybody we know. And this baptism is going to show that. Today, when they're baptized, you're not going to think, oh, they joined a club, or oh, they became Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, or they joined the Kiwanis Club, or they did any of those things. When they're baptized, they're identifying with Jesus. They're saying, Jesus is in my life, okay? Now, I want y'all to be real quiet, okay? I want you to pay attention to everything that's going on. And that goes for you big people out there, too. So our first candidate is Miss Kate Sexton. Kate, so they can see how pretty you are.
Yeah.
They already know that. Kate, have you received Jesus into your life?
Yes, sir, I have.
Would you say out loud that Jesus is Lord of your life?
Jesus is the Lord of my life.
Amen. Amen. All right. Kate, my sister in Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, and raised to walk in newness of life. Now we have some brothers that are being baptized. They're going to be in the baptistry together. And I hope I don't lose one of them while they're in here.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Stand right here. Stand right here. Right over here. Can you stand up? There we go. All right. All right. Y'all come right over here where they can see you real good, okay? All right. This is Elisha And this is Tim Farmer. And they're going to be baptized today. And so, Elisha, you're the elder, so we're going to baptize you first, okay? Tim, stand right over here, and you can watch your brother. Okay. Right there, okay? Okay, look here, buddy. Elisha, have you asked Jesus to come into your life? And why don't you say out loud, Jesus is Lord of my life.
Jesus is Lord of my life.
Amen. Okay. Now hold your name. All right. Elisha, I baptize you, my young brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. All right. Stand right here where you can watch your brother. Okay, right there. There we go. Watch your brother. All right, this is young Tim. Tim, have you invited Jesus into your heart to be your Savior? Say it out loud. Jesus is Lord of my life.
Jesus is Lord of my life.
Amen. Amen. Tim, my young brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism. And raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. Okay. Okay, right on up the steps there. There we go.
Some of y'all thought I was kidding about losing one. I baptized three sisters one time, and I left the pool with two. I lost one of them somewhere in the pool. She got away from me. Isn't it a beautiful picture? Children, did you see that? You see that? That's the acted out gospel, the good news of Jesus. Now, I'm going to pray, but what I want you children to do is to go sit on the front row, and we're going to sing another song or two, and you stay there, and then I'll dismiss you when I come out to so you can go to Kid Zone, okay? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through this beautiful picture of baptism. Lord, I know the evil one does not like to hear, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Lord, thank you today that all power in heaven and earth is yours, and we belong to you. Therefore, we can say to the enemy, be gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All righty. Front row, children.
I thought it very appropriate today that we just go back and read the story of the Ethiopian eunuch and his baptism. I want you to listen quickly today because I've got a few things I want you to remember, some things to hang on today out of this passage of Scripture. So, let's pray. Lord, pray now that you'll open our hearts to your word. Lord, we've seen, we've heard, we've experienced today, we've touched. Lord, now as we open the book, speak to us out of your word. Let us hear it clearly and plainly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beginning verse 25, Acts chapter 8. And so when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. You see, there had been a great move of the Lord. If you read earlier verses in chapter 8, persecution had come, but the gospel was going forth. And miraculous signs and wonders were taking place, and God was moving in people's hearts. And the biggest miracle was people, their lives were changing because Jesus was coming into their lives. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Here are those angels again showing up, these messengers of God. Spoke to Philip saying, get up, go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he got up and he went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace. Popular thing back then, those who had access to royalty, these men, they'd castrate them. They would make them a eunuch. And so they would not be a danger in that way of compromise in any way. Pretty serious thing if you got chosen for that duty. A court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Now, some of you will probably read historically, Candace is more of a title than it is her particular name. In fact, if you go back historically, you'll find four Candaces there in history. But this is one of them. So he's there, he's a representative of Ethiopia. Are we seeing Ethiopia now resurge in biblical prophecy? Of course. We're seeing God bring all this stuff back around. He was in charge of all of her treasure, and he had come, he was the accountant. He was the bean counter. He took care of all of it. And he'd come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, how had he found out about all of this? Imagine all of that that went before. We'll talk about that in just a moment. He was returning, and he was sitting in his chariot. No doubt, he had a Cadillac or a Lincoln chariot. He could afford it. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. We know from what's quoted here that he's reading the gospel of Isaiah, Isaiah 53. If you haven't read that in a while, go back and read it. It is a picture of Yeshua, of Jesus himself. And then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join the chariot. Go to that chariot. What if someone told you on Abercorn? Go up and talk to the people in that car. So Philip ran up, and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. So he had familiarity with the Word of God. Recognized it. He said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, well, now here's the other thing. He had to have money for him to get a scroll where he could be reading it on the chariot. Big time here. He said, the Ethiopian said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him in the chariot. Now, the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this. And here's a quote from Isaiah 53. He was led, see what this sounds like. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. Getting a clue? In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation, for his life is removed from the earth? The eunuch answered Philip, and he said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or somebody else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. He told him about Jesus. As they went along the road, they came to some water. They've come to the water now. And the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? Now, I don't know how long this was, but it's long enough that Philip got around to telling him about baptism, about what a picture. What we just shared a moment ago. He shared with him the whole gospel, the good news of Jesus. So now, as soon as the Ethiopian eunuch sees the water, he says, here's water, I'm ready to be baptized. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Son of God. Construction there is the. There's no other. He is exclusive. There is no other God. And he ordered the chariot to stop. And they both went down to the water. Philip, as well as the eunuch, saw it a minute ago, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord, now, we had an angel being used before by the Spirit. Now the Spirit of the Lord says, Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away,
And the eunuch no longer saw him. So just as quickly as Philip comes up and joins the chariot, he's taken away right after, because he had another job for him, another mission. And the eunuch no longer saw him. He went on his way rejoicing. And Philip found himself at Azotus. And as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Is that not a beautiful story? I mean, even an American can appreciate that, because it's bang, 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 bang. Bullet points. Okay. So, why did I read that story? I want you to see seven things in it very quickly. God will speak to His witnesses. And that's what we're supposed to be, His witnesses. Now, in the story, had God spoken to Philip? Yes, sir. You read the verses that went before, and you see He was speaking to him. He had led him to this point. And now, when the angel shows up to speak to him, he's not saying, "Who are you?" He's recognizing that voice. So God will speak to the witness. That's us. Let me ask you at this point, are there people God is speaking to you about right now in your life? Second thing. God will then also, on the other side of this equation, He will speak to the person who's going to receive the witness. So when you feel God speaking to you about a person, God puts a burden on your heart for them, already know that the Spirit of God has already begun speaking to them and leading them to that point. Number three, God is preparing that person that's going to receive that witness. Just as surely as He is preparing the witness, He's preparing both of you for this divine appointment. And I want to say to you, man, these appointments can take place anywhere, because God's the one who's making it. Number four. If you'll listen, God will give you, as a witness, specific instructions. If you're willing. If you're willing to listen. If you're willing to put aside your stuff. How many stories we've heard right here. I'm not going to retell those stories of people that just suddenly God said, "Well, you need to go talk to so-and-so." Years ago. I'm sitting in my office. It's back when I was pastor of a real church. Bloom. Just had to throw that in there. And so I'm sitting in my office. I had a secretary and all that stuff. And so I'm sitting in there, and suddenly, Lord says to me, and this is back before I really walked in this kind of being led by the Spirit, but Lord has told me, "You know, you need to go around the corner, and there is a couple around there that's attended the church before, but they need to talk to you today about Jesus." That's in the morning. How in the world is this? And back then, all the guys I knew, when they got up in the morning, they went to work. They were both home. My wife was home that day. Knocked on the door. And I went in. And it was just like I had an appointment. Huh? Just like. No just like about it. I did. One of the easiest things I've ever done. I sat down. I opened my Bible. The Lord said, "Take your Bible with you." Opened my Bible and I shared Jesus with them. I got an email from that couple back a few months ago. They have served in churches all over the Southeast
all over the set. They're not professional ministers, but they have, God has moved them around, and they're still serving the Lord today. And I look at that and I think, man, what a blessing. The power of God to come to someone, divine appointment. Number five, God will use His Word. You say, well, I don't know His Word. Well, you got a copy of it, don't you? You need to start getting to know it. Let me tell you, He will use the word you have learned. Do you hear me? So, well, I don't know much. He'll use what you have. He'll use the tools that you've put in your tool bag. But you know what? You'd be a lot more usable if you had more tools. Getting deeper in this book and learning what it has to say. I read a lot of books. I got a big library. I mean, back when you had those things, you didn't go out on the internet and have to download everything. But I mean, literally, a big library. But you know, I've never read a book like this one. Because I see people's lives change. He used His Word. In this case, He used the gospel according to Isaiah in Isaiah 53. And then number six, the Lord will allow the witness to apply the word where you can tell that person. You know, when God puts a person in your life to share Jesus with them, He's choosing you. He's going to use your story. You say, well, my story isn't. Don't do that with God. He chose to put you in the game. You're the one who has the connection with them. And let me tell you, when God rolls down that barrier to their heart, oh boy, and the openness, oh, it's a beautiful thing. There are people in your life waiting. They're waiting. I'm speaking to some people that are mature Christians. You've known the Lord a long time. It's time to get in the game. It's time for some fruit in your life. Or some change lines. Number seven. Finally, that person that is the person that you're sharing with, they get the opportunity to choose. That's a guy years ago, he asked me, he said, Pastor, how am I going to talk these people into receiving Jesus? And I said, man, you don't talk anybody into doing anything. Because let me tell you, if you can talk them into it, the devil can talk them out of it. God's calling on you. All you have to do is deliver the news. Then they get to decide. Now, how's God going to do that in your life? What's He going to do? What medium is He going to use that in your life? That eunuch that day, that accountant, that very wealthy man, who was experiencing, I mean, he had at his disposal all the wealth of the queen of Ethiopia. And yet, he had something missing in his life. And he knew it. We live our lives surrounded by people who, just like the hotel there in North Carolina, I remember years ago riding by this hotel, and I don't know why they just bigger than their sign, which has advertised the name of the hotel, was one word. vacancy. When you look at the people in your life, I believe there's a lot of them who have that glazed over. I have a vacancy. I need something. Someone to fill that vacancy. That's why the Lord sent His Son, Jesus. Because He can fill your heart. He can fill your life. He can fill your eternity. Are you bored with your faith? Let me tell you, you can never fathom the depth of a relationship with Jesus. You'll never get to the bottom of it. You know, that little song we used to sing as kids growing up, deep and wide, deep and wide. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Your family members, your friends, your work associates, your neighbors, the kids you go to school with, they're living in a hellhole of circumstances. They need to come and drink at the well from which they will never go thirsty again. And that's Jesus. We had three today that stirred the water. A couple of them stirred it a little bit more than one of the others. Wouldn't you like to do this every Sunday? All right, I'm going to open the altar and ask you to respond. Has Jesus spoken to you? Are there people in your life that you need to pray for? Or maybe the first thing you need to pray about today is your attitude. Am I willing to join you, Jesus? Or am I so busy on my precious agenda that I don't have room for you? Has convenience overtaken my life to such a point that it has driven every bit of real commitment to the Lord out of me? Boy, if we've succeeded in that, as I said to you last week, that's a damnable. Let's pray. The altar's open. You can come now. Pastors are going to come. Lord, as we open the altar today, we ask You to come. Come, Lord, speak. Come, Lord, move. Come, move in our lives. Lord, I'm asking You today, the people in our lives that are, they are dying by inches because they are separated from You. I'm asking You, Jesus, that today we can begin by praying, by coming to Your throne, Lord, and praying, interceding for them right now and for their salvation. Come, Lord. Come. Holy Spirit, You are welcome in this place right now. The altar's open. You may want to go grab someone to come and pray with you and intercede today.
wish I had a thousand tongues to sing my Savior's praise. Glories of my God and King, triumphs of His name. My gracious Master and my King, assist me to proclaim, to shout aloud to all the earth the glory of your name. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Name of Jesus, my God and King. The name that cancels all our fears, bids our sorrows cease. It's music to the sinner's ear. It's life and hope and peace. The deaf will hear, the blind will see. The prisoner is set free. And all by the power of one sweet name, I call on Thee. Call in Jesus. Call in Jesus. Call in Jesus. My God and King. Gracious Master and my King, assist me to proclaim, to shout aloud to all the earth the glory of your name, the name of Jesus.
I'd like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring, now remember we will be doing offering for Brother Clement in Nigeria at the end. If you have your tithes and offering, you want to bring those at this time. Well, your cards, we'll receive them. There's a basket in the back and two up front. Look this way, if you will. Has God spoken to you today? Okay. What you going to do about it? You going to be obedient to what He's spoken to you and carry that out with you? Because we need to be the church. This isn't just this much of being the church. You need to be the church at Walmart, Kmart, Abercorn, the mall, Abercorn, all those places that you get challenged by the Lord. At your job, be the church. Be the church. He's calling on you to do that. Reverend Dr. Armani, if you'd come up here, please. Got a couple of things I want to give you. First of all, here are those pins you wanted. Everywhere around the earth now, you know Nigerians are everywhere. They're just like Santa Claus. They're everywhere. You name a country, there's Nigerians there. They're already waiting on you. They're Dr. O'Carry? One out of five black people on the face of the planet are Nigerian? In the whole world. So literally, I mean, we're not fooling around here. They're everywhere. So these pins are going to go everywhere. But Clement, here's a video projector for you to take back. And now the thing y'all have to pray for is they get some electricity to run that. They say, we guarantee one out of 24 hours you're going to have electricity today. You just don't know which hour it's going to be. And I saw the guy out there what was working on the generator one day at the hotel where we were. He had a baseball bat. He was beating it. and it started running. And anyway, let's put that down. And we're going to have those baskets at the door today for you to give for this work that is going on. Our sister church, this church that we helped in a very small way in getting it planted there in Nigeria, in Owerri, Community Baptist Church. And Clement,
I want to thank God for all of you. I don't know how to express my joy to see what you people are thinking about us. And last week, you gave me the opportunity to share with you our relationship. And I think those of you who were here last week, you saw that we are not just exaggerating, we are saying the truth and nothing but the truth. That you love us and we love you. And you remember, you are the sycamore tree. And when people are climbing, will they see Jesus Christ in you? Brother Dusty, well, I don't know what to say about you. Cool breeze, is that? When you come to Nigeria, you know, Idi Amin, I don't know how many of you have heard of Idi Amin. He said he went to England and they entertained him. He said to Queen, when you come to Kenya, we shall retaliate. We shall retaliate. So I'm going to retaliate. When you come to Nigeria, I will treat you the way you have treated me. And here in America, he is my boss. In Nigeria, I'm his boss. And there's no way you can separate us. It is my prayer that the relationship that has started, those of you who will be interested to have friends in Nigeria, please submit your names. I want to go with those names so that when I get to the church, I will share the names among those people who can match the type of people you are here. And they will correspond with you. They will tell you about themselves and you tell you what is going on in Nigeria and you tell them what is going on in America so that if they happen to be here or you happen to be in Nigeria, you will not be a stranger there. You have a home and you have some people that are waiting there for you. If you give me time to speak, I'll speak about 3 hours more. But you don't preach a long sermon in the evening service. Thank you very much.
Stay right here. Get the people at the door. We don't let servants who come through leave without praying over them. So I want you to stand right here and we're going to anoint you and pray over you, okay? Those of you who want to come and lay hands on Our brother, you may. Yes, Clement, we anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for this man, your servant. He has spent his life serving you. Lord, he has seen great things in the name of Jesus. But Lord, I'm asking you to add years to his life. I'm asking you to, in every way where his health may begin to falter, Lord, that you would restore. Lord, he has much more to do in the kingdom. And so, Lord, right now, I pray for a fresh anointing of strength, of power. Power in the Holy Spirit. Lord, power in the gospel. Lord, as he touches the lives of so many people, we're asking you, Lord, that you would go before him. And I am asking you for every trap that the evil one has laid, every distraction, everything that he has put out there that would trip up my brother, that would cause less effectiveness in the kingdom. Right now, Jesus, we come in agreement that you would cut that off right now. Amen. And cut him off. Amen. And cut his servants off. Amen. That they would have no authority. Lord, I pray you will give Clement renewed authority in the gospel. Lord, as you stir up the gifts in him and empower him in the Holy Spirit, Lord, that he can be all that you have called him to be for the balance of his days or until you come, Jesus. Lord, we submit your servant to you that we love so much, who stirs our hearts, who challenges us because he reflects you, Lord, and your love and your care and what you want for our lives. Lord, last week I wasn't looking at Clement Amati. I was seeing the reflection of Jesus as he stood before us. Lord, I pray your blessing. May your blessing be upon the community church. May your blessing be upon his wife and children. May your blessing be upon all who claim the name there. In Owerri, in Iagua, all over Imo State, Lord. May you stir, bring great revival, bring great renewal. And we pray that for our country also. Thank you. Thank you. We bless your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. If you want to see Brother Clement, come by. He'll be right here. God bless you. Go in grace.